Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Vampires, magic, dragons, lies, and misinformation. Your fantasy book fix. Blood Red Eyes, Book 1, Trials. A fast-paced, easy read on diving into act utilitarianism and solutions to nihilism from different perspectives. This young adult medieval dark epic fantasy book is available at Barnes & Noble and is free for Kindle Unlimited members on Amazon. Take advantage of a week-long ebook sale starting on October 20th at 62% discount, celebrating this sponsorship. Blood Red Eyes, Book 1, Trials. Available now.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons. And today we're talking about Dullahans and Death's Heads.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. I'm spooky. The spirits are manifesting.
Yeah, are they?
The podcast, probably.
Sounds worrisome.
No, because they're Dullahans and Death's Heads.
Oh, that's very, very fucking worrisome then.
Oh, you don't want them here.
You definitely don't want these guys around.
We want the spirit of their lore here.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
What we want. That's what we're bringing to the
table. In order
to
better ward them off.
We did the spirit bard, and now we can be spirit bard, because we know how.
We are halfway through the spooky month. Real quick, before we get into today's topic, I just want to remind everyone, we are running contests on the social media where we are giving away coffee. So check out our Twitter, check out Instagram, and get your Adventurers Company coffee.
Yep.
And without further ado, let's get into it.
I would like that.
Today we are talking about two new horrors from Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft. The Dullahan or Dullahan or Dullahan or Dullahan. I don't know how you say it, I'm going to be honest.
I'm going to say Dullahan.
You say, I was saying Dullahan, and I know that's probably wrong. But it just say the Dullahan.
It sounds like a pirate, and a pirate.
It does.
I want to say Dullahan.
Okay. The Dullahan and the Death's Heads. One has no head and the other is a head.
Wait a minute.
Yes. Also, they have some relation in the game itself. I have to say thank you to Wizards of the Coast for the new Ravenloft book. Spooky monsters were running thin for us to cover, and bam, this book drops and
It's got so much stuff in it.
It does. It's got so much stuff. It supplies topics for pretty much the entire month, and it's been pretty wide and varied. We got class options, race options, monsters. Another fun thing about today's two topics is both have ties to cultural folklore, which it's been well established. I'm a fan of on this show. The Dullahan is based off of the Irish folklore entity of the same name, and is probably most recognized in the United States as the Headless Horseman.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. I'm even more willing to bet it's the Dullahan.
Oh, why? What makes you think that?
It was Irish stuff.
Oh, okay, for sure. Is it that a specific pronunciation that you recognize?
Yeah, I don't know. It just sounds like an Irish word when you say it like that. Maybe
Dullahan?
Dullahan?
I don't know.
Maybe. We're back. We're square one. Let's
indeed.
Just keep going.
We're back to square one. The Death's Head, though, is likely somewhat based off of a cannibalistic spirit in both Iroquois and Wyandot mythology known as a flying head. That being said, let's get into it, starting with the Dullahan.
The Iroquois and the Wyandot are Native American cultures, right?
Yes, okay. In the northeastern region of the United States.
Okay.
Dullahans are headless undead warriors, the reigns of villains who let vengeance consume them. Mm. These decapitated hunters haunt the areas where they were slain, butchering innocents in search of their severed heads or simply to quench their thirst for revenge. The story of the Dullahan comes from Ireland. He is depicted as a headless rider on a black horse who carries his own head held high in his hand. Usually the Dullahan is male, but there are some female versions. It is said to be the embodiment of the Celtic god. I apologize for my pronunciation.
Cromdub.
It's either Cromdub or Cromdub.
Cromdub.
Cromdub. Whose name means dark, crooked one.
Oh, I like that.
I know, it's very
cool.
Can you
just imagine riding a horse with your own head in your hand? Like, yeah! But it wouldn't be, I didn't yaw from here, I yawed from up there.
Yeah. Absolutely, exactly. The Dullahan of folklore seem to carry their own heads around with them. The mouth is usually in a hideous grin that touches both sides of its head. Its eyes are constantly moving about and can see across the countryside even during the darkest nights. The flesh of the head is said to have the color and consistency of moldy cheese.
Oh, that's delicious.
Very gross.
Everybody who loves blue cheese out there can get with this. Now, you said them. Are there going to be multiples of these guys?
So, a lot of times when folklore entities get brought over to D&D, in the folklore themselves is usually the singular. You know, the Yeti, the Bigfoot.
Right. You go to a town, and a town is like, there is a monster unique out there.
Exactly. But when it gets transferred to D&D, the world of fantasy and magic is like, no. This is a species.
Yeah. Like, there is a monster out there, but also
there's
like,
more of
there
them.
Might be like five. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
So it could be like a pack of Dullahan.
No, I don't know about a pack of Dullahan. That would be terrifying.
Like, think about it.
They,
though, like
they do seem to operate solo, but I do like the idea because, so in Ichabod Crane, the Headless Horseman, the idea is that the Headless Horseman fell in battle in the Revolutionary War.
See, that's weird because it's Irish folklore.
Well, you got to remember, like, a lot of the immigrants that came over came from Ireland and England and Wales and all that.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, that story of Sleepy Hollow, wasn't that set in, like, a colonial
style? Yes, it is.
Yeah, so like, I was like,
it's Irish. A transfer of the Dullahan.
Yeah, that makes sense that it came with the culture, but the popularized story that we know is, like...
An American version of it.
Yeah, it has Johnny Depp in it.
I love that movie, by
it's
the
so
way.
It's so good.
It's a very good movie.
It's Christopher Walken.
It's amazing.
He's so awesome. His teeth are filed. Holy shit. Amazing. It's in my top 10 movies.
I'm not even joking here. I got an argument with Tom about 2 weeks ago because he was saying we needed a
Tom
remake
from the Everything You Need to Know podcast. Exactly. The podcast that you and Tom do.
Yes, indeed. Dude, Could You Imagine?
Everything You Need to Know is a thing we do.
And he edits it. So yes. He is related to that show.
Tom is part of the squad.
Indeed, but Tom was saying that he thinks there should definitely be a remake because it's been too long. I was like, no, you don't remake that. That's a masterpiece. Don't touch it.
I think we're good on that one. It would probably do for a remake in, like, I don't know, maybe the earliest 10 years from now.
Yeah, I can get behind
when
that.
Those actors are not, like, relevant anymore.
Sure, absolutely. But back to your pack of Dullahans, I could see what if a whole squad.
Smoke,
a whole
smoke squad. One of these Dullahans. It's my favorite blend of tobacco.
If a whole squad goes down and they want, if they are unanimous in their desire for vengeance, perhaps they all rise as Dullahans.
Like a battalion. Right?
A battalion of headless horsemen.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyways, back to Dullahans.
Okay.
The Dullahan or Dullahan. I'm going to just keep saying Dullahan, and I'll just hear about it in the comments.
You kind of were saying Dullahan.
That's what my brain goes to. So everyone get in the comments and tell me I'm wrong. The Dullahan is believed to use the spine of a human corpse for a whip, and its wagon is adorned with funeral objects.
Whoa.
It has candles in skulls to light the way. The spokes of the wheels are made from thigh bones, and the wagon's covering is made from a worm-chewn pall or dried human skin.
Ugh.
This thing's metal
this
as fuck.
This is awesome.
Let me just say, Irish folklore is metal as fuck.
Cart at all is like news to me. That's awesome.
Again, this is the Irish folklore version. Like, obviously, you can homebrew.
Oh, not the D&D version.
No, you can homebrew your D&D version. Mine does.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that right now.
I was like, a human spine for a whip. Like, that's
ridiculous.
That's a little much even for this game.
I know.
We got demon lords and shit.
The ancient Irish believed that where the Dullahan stops writing, a person is due to die, probably because the Dullahan's going to kill them.
That's the implication.
The Dullahan calls out the person's name, drawing away the soul of his victim, at which point the person immediately drops dead. Damn, there's no defense.
This is good.
There are rumors that golden objects can force the Dullahan to disappear. All right, there's your defense.
I love that. That's so cool.
You always want a weakness, right?
Yeah.
You always want a weakness.
Fuck all that silver stuff. And, like, I've seen what you guys are talking about in the threads. You know, I've been talking about Reddit threads lately.
Yeah.
They're talking about werewolves can't take fall damage because it's not unless silver is involved.
Oh, my fucking God. That's stupid. Anyways, back to D&D lore.
It's not. It's what it says.
I don't know. I'll have to look into it.
Okay.
Back to D&D lore. Wiccan knights or commanders in life, Dullahans adhere to twisted codes of chivalry or soldiership. These fallen champions consider a specific location their battlefield. This gives rise to stories of haunted battlegrounds, ruins, roads, river crossings, and other strategic locations where Dullahan continues a terrifying campaign against the living. In death, Dullahans are often rejoined by those who follow them in life.
Yeah!
Either in the form of lesser undead, like skeletons or wights, or terrifying mounts, like war horse skeletons or nightmares. Now, okay, that makes sense when the commanders of Dullahan and his underlings are, like, the lesser undead. But if it's a band of like, equal mercenaries, they're all Dullahans. Deal with it.
The leader's always going to be Christopher Walken for me.
Yes, absolutely.
Follow me into battle to kill the townsfolk.
Absolutely.
It's like Christopher Walken, everybody.
Absolutely.
Is it good? Let me know.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Okay, cool. I got a Stewie and a Christopher Walken on the show now.
Nice.
That I've revealed.
Very nice.
I got to save the really good stuff for the campaign I'm going to DM.
Right, absolutely. Dullahans are known for seeking their lost head. So, okay, so in D&D, they don't got a head. They don't got a head with them. They're looking for a head.
Right, yeah.
They're never going to find it because their head's gone.
That makes sense because Christopher Walken is looking for, like, he takes your heads to get ahead because he's missing his. That's like.
But he gets his head in the end.
He does. That's part of like the. Yeah, spoilers for Sleepy Hollow. Christopher
like,
Walken
it
does get
re-knit, right?
Yeah, but that's like.
Scene.
That's to get him.
To go the fuck away.
To go away. Because he's like, I just need to my whole shit to go to hell.
Somewhere
give
me my fucking head.
Yeah.
And it's the witch who's controlling him because she has his head.
And he takes her.
Yes, he does.
He
like throws her over his shoulder and just takes her to hell.
First he like bites the shit out of her, I think.
Oh, yes,
with
his
nasty teeth.
With the nasty teeth.
That's a good movie. That's going to be my Halloween watch. Gotta get a babysitter for that
one. Yeah, I like that. Back to Dullahans. Dullahans are known for taking their lost heads, giving rise to regional legends of headless hunters and endless searches. The Dullahan legend table suggests Dullahan hauntings that might be the stuff of local legends.
I love tables.
Yeah, I didn't print this table out, so unfortunately we don't have that on hand. But
do you want to Google it while I read the Dullahan monster stat? See if you can find it. I'm going to go ahead and get into this. So Dullahan is going to be medium undead. Which seems strange because it's always going to be on a horse, pretty much. Not always, but, like, it shows up on a horse, so it should be, like, a horse is large, right?
Horses are large, yeah. But the Dullahan himself is medium.
Makes sense.
He's and, like, I think you're going to put him on a nightmare, probably. Or a skeletal horse.
What's that, CR3?
Right. For the nightmare, I think it's CR3 or 5. One of the two, one of those.
Okay. It's got an armor class 16. It's wearing breastplate, so go ahead and pluck that off if you're successful and sell it, maybe. Or tailor it. Hit points is 135 or 18d8 plus 54. We got a speed of 30 feet. We got 18 strength, 14 dex, 16 con, 11 intelligence, 15 wisdom, and 16 charisma. This thing is stacked.
So powerful character.
This is very strong.
Powerful character. Okay, I have the Dullahan Legends. It's just a d4. Do you want to go over it now? Or
wait till I'm done with this block, and then that'll be a cool way to close it out.
Yeah.
So we got saving throw is going to be a plus 7 to con saves. Plus 6 perception. That's cool.
He's looking for that
head.
He's looking for that head.
Through a pumpkin for
and
you.
And that con just shows how goddamn resilient he is.
I know. He's resistant to cold, lightning, poison. He is immune to charmed. Makes sense. Frightened and poison. He's got true sight for 120 feet. That's insanity.
His theoretical eyes are so good.
He's the Ghost Rider. passive perception is 16. He understands the languages he knew in life, or they knew in life. But cannot speak. You can see real good, though. challenge rating 10. Okay, that's cool. Nice. With a proficiency bonus of 4. You're going to get headless summoning, recharges after a short or long rest. If Dullahan is reduced to 0 HP, it doesn't die or fall unconscious. Instead, it regains 97 hit points.
I wish
that's what happened to me when I died.
I know, right?
In addition, it summons 3 death's heads.
Yep.
One of each type in an unoccupied spaces within 5 feet of it. So anywhere around it, pretty much. The death's heads are under the Dullahan's control and act immediately after the Dullahan in the initiative order. So additionally, the Dullahan can now use the options in the mythic actions section, award a party an additional 5,900 XP if you're doing that. Or 11,800 total for defeating the Dullahan after it uses Headless Summoning. That's cool. This is let me up my CR immediately.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fun. That's like a cool mini boss mechanic almost.
Yes, it is. This is like
4th edition.
They took 4th edition and 5th edition, slapped it together, and it's fucking beautiful. They had a beautiful child. So, number one, yes, I love this whole feature, but we're going to get into it later. This guy has legendary actions and also this newer thing called mythic actions.
Okay.
which I'll explain when we get there.
Okay, so the legendary resistance to a day, and then unusual nature. The Dullahan doesn't require air, food, drink, or sleep. Nice. Undead as fuck.
Yeah.
Multi-attack. It's going to get two attacks on that. One with a battle axe. So a melee weapon attack plus 8 to hit with a reach of 5 feet on one target. It's going to do 8 or 1d8 plus 4 slashing damage or 9 1d10 plus 4 slashing damage if used with two hands. So if he's riding the horse, he can like come out over the side like a polo.
Yeah.
But if he's on foot, he probably two-hit.
Exactly.
Hit. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Nice. It's also going to do 11 or 2d10 necrotic damage.
Yeah.
If the Dullahan score is a critical... hit against the creature, the target must succeed on a DC 15 Constitution saving throw, or the Dullahan cuts off the target's
God
head.
Damn,
it killed you right there. This is a hardcore stat block. Almost as hardcore as the Irish folklore.
This might be my favorite stat block we've ever read. Like, I love every facet of it.
I know it's got a lot of flavor here. The target dies if it can't survive without the lost head.
I mean, yeah
cool.
Really.
Well, like, not even a Warforged, right?
No.
So a creature that doesn't have or need ahead has legendary actions, instead takes an extra 2768 slashing damage. Okay, so Fiery Skull, ranged spell attack, plus 7 to hit, range 120 feet, one target. It's going to be 14, 2d10, plus 3 fire damage.
So he doesn't have a head, but he's able to conjure a Fire Skull and throw it at you.
Yeah, this is like a giant.
He's very much like the Ghost Rider in a lot of ways.
I know, I've yes. So legendary actions, you're going to get 3 of those. It can do an attack. So the Dullahan makes one attack, not a multi-attack, just one regular attack. It's going to do a Frightful Presence that costs 2 actions. Each creature of the Dullahan's choice within 30 feet of it must succeed on a DC 15 Wisdom saving throw or become frightened of the Dullahan until the end of the next turn. That's very, very good. That seems like it should be there, and it is. Mm-hmm. Headhunt. It's going to be all 3 actions. The Dullahan moves up to its speed without provoking opportunity attacks and makes one Battle Axe attack with advantage. If the attack hits but is not a critical hit, the attack does an extra 27 or 68 necrotic
Man,
damage.
This dude's brutal.
Yeah,
this dude's brutal.
He can go and get the
yeah
person. Okay, so here's
he's sick of your healer. He's just going to go cut off your healer's head.
Yeah, he's like chopping people real good, and they're like getting back up. He's like, huh?
Yeah.
And he true sights the fucking cleric in the back doing holy shit.
Yeah.
I got again.
So real quick, we are going to get into mythic actions. They're pretty simple. So mythic actions are just extra legendary actions that one creature gets to take if certain parameters are met, which it'll state at the beginning of the mythic action. So go ahead.
Okay, so coordinated assault. Or should I read this little first
you
bit?
You should read the
whole thing.
Yeah.
If the Dullahan's headless summoning trait is active, it can use the options below as legendary actions.
There you
coordinated
go.
Coordinated assault. The Dullahan makes a battle axe attack, and then one death's head the Dullahan can see within 30 feet of it can use its reaction to make a melee attack. Now, the headless wall costs 2 actions. An echoing shriek issues from the Dullahan's headless stump.
Oh, that's gross.
Wow.
That's disgusting.
Just like...
You know it's got...
Some little throat tissues.
Can you do that again? Do that again. That's so disgusting. I was picturing like sputtering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just like, you know, probably rotted over, so it's not like bloody, but yeah, it's
disgusting.
Spitting.
My God.
It's throat spit. Each creature of the Dullahan's choice within 10 feet of it must make a DC 15 Wisdom saving throw. Each creature takes 16 or 3d10 psychic damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one. If one or more creature fails the saving throw, the Dullahan gains 10 temp HP.
My God.
This thing's brutal, man.
This thing, I'm sorry. Challenge rating 10 seems too low for this bad boy.
Far too low.
This seems like a challenge rating 13 to 15.
Well, maybe it is because the challenge rating is based off of just the Dullahan. With the death's heads, it goes up substantially.
What does it go up to? Does
it goes
it
up
say?
To whatever 11,800 XP's worth of challenge rating is.
Yeah, but that has more to do with the fact of like you reward a lot more XP based off a group. It's not that the challenge rating of the monster is any different. I actually think this monster is above a 10, if you ask me. It has legendary and mythic actions, plus it has a thing where it guarantees a group of death's heads to join it, and also it regains most of its hit points on death.
It's got good AC, and it's already got pretty good hit points. So, yeah, its stats are really good. Yeah, okay, what are you going to throw this at? I'm gonna call it a 14.
Yeah, I think I'm settling on 13, mostly because I like the idea of the Headless Horseman's challenge rating being the unlucky number 13.
Oh, okay, sure.
So I'm sticking
it's 13
with,
it's because 13. Spooky.
Gets spooky, yeah, yeah, exactly.
And what's one challenge rating off? It's not really significant.
It's meaningless. It's like war in baseball, which is a stat that like envelops an entire player. If a player is like 0.1 war away from another player, it's meaningless.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see. Yeah. I thought it was card games for a second. Have you ever played War, the card game with bicycle cards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously. That's a great game.
Everybody has, right?
Absolutely. Let's take a short rest.
Okay.
Hey, folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
We've returned.
Indeed we have. And it's time to talk about death's heads. So death's heads are pretty straightforward. A death's head is a disembodied flying head. The type of creature one of these grotesque undead originate from determines how it terrorizes its prey. A death's head that arises from a person or animal swoops down to rip apart victims with its gnashing teeth. One with the head of a monster like a Nothic or Medusa, though, retains a measure of the power it had in life and can befuddle the minds or petrify the bodies of its victims.
Cool.
Now, there is also a thing called a death's head tree. In cursed wilds, grow death's head trees, awakened trees from which 2d6 death's heads dangle like foul fruit.
Oh, God damn, I know.
The heads detach to protect the tree if it's threatened. Should the tree be destroyed, the heads scatter and plant themselves in unholy ground. A new death's head tree emerges from each planted head 1d12 months later. So this is just some type of weird undead flora that grows in unholy lands.
I would love voicing the death's heads.
Oh, be so much fun. I do like that idea of they all talking.
Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
I love that. That's amazing.
It's good.
According to both Iroquois and Wyandot mythology, flying heads are described as being ravenous spirits that are cursed with an insatiable hunger. The physical appearance of the flying head somewhat varies depending on the storyteller. However, it is generally described as resembling a human head with long dark hair. Terrible eyes, and a large mouth filled with razor-sharp fangs.
Okay.
In some versions, the flying head has a pair of bat wings jutting from each side of its cheek and bird-like talons. Other versions replace its bat wings with those of a bird. In all instances, they're described as being larger in size than that of the tallest man and possessing a hide that no weapon can penetrate.
Am I getting this right? It's just like basically a like head or skull with like wings coming off of it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like the Avenged Sevenfold logo.
Right, or like a biker tattoo.
Or like a biker tattoo.
Yeah, okay, yes, I absolutely. Got you.
Aren't they the same thing, Brian?
I've seen them.
I like Avenged Sevenfold.
I've seen one in a record store, and I've seen one in a record store, if you
okay.
know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So according to folklore, excuse me, the flying head drove the original native inhabitants who lived in the area of the state of New York near the source of the Hudson River in the Adirondack Mountains away from their hunting grounds before the Europeans came.
Okay.
In the early 19th century, a Mohawk guide in the town of Lake Pleasant, New York, who called himself Captain Gill, claimed it was Lake Sacandaga where the legend took place. The tribe had their village on a hill that is now located behind the Hamilton County buildings. The name of the previous inhabitants. Yeah, this is very specific because these are real places, real people, and this is real folklore.
Yes.
The name of the previous inhabitants has been lost to history, and the legend of the flying head ensured that every neighboring tribe steered clear for many years. The flying head legend survives, but the name of the tribe who invented it is gone. The hill where the unknown tribe's village was located is considered to be cursed to this day.
This sounds like a CPG Grey video that, like,
yes,
did it go
does.
Well?
It does, yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it sounds like. I'm glad that we're both fans of CGP Grey.
Yeah.
Have you been watching his latest videos?
You know, I kind of fell off because his podcast stopped.
Man, he went on a rant. He went down a deep rabbit hole finding the origin of the name Tiffany, and it was amazing.
I should catch up on my CPG Grey.
Absolutely.
Shout out to CPG Grey.
First, you should read this Death's Head.
Before I watch any YouTube videos, I'm going to read the Death's Head.
How about we make
a
YouTube
video? I'm going to finish making the YouTube video here. Actually, I'll finish it later because that's how
that's
post-production
how,
works.
Indeed.
Okay, so Death's Head is a tiny undead with an armor class of 16.
It's
natural.
It's a strong head.
It's better than a whole dude wearing breastplate, or just as good anyway.
Just as good.
I would say it's better because they don't have to wear armor, but they are tiny.
I think that armor comes from the fact that they're so small they're hard to hit.
Small, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, natural armor, which means I can just fly out of the fucking way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see why. Here we go. So hit points are going to be 17 or 5d4 plus 5.
That's pretty low.
They can't walk, sorry. Maybe they could, like, wing, like, kind of. That's basically zero.
Yeah.
Fly speed is 30 feet. It's hovering speed. So they can't, like, oh, what's it in Legend of Zelda, in Ocarina of Time?
What?
They're,
what?
Like, the flaming blue skulls that, like, come and, like, make your weapon undrawable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, they're exactly like that.
Yeah, they're that, too. I'm going to keep drawing parallels to pop culture. So strength is 8, dex is 13, and that's the there it is with the AC. Con is 12, intelligence 5. They're just ahead.
They're just ahead.
But they're very wise. They're 14 wisdom. And
they're quite aware.
Very not charismatic with a minus 4.
They couldn't convince charisma. You to do anything.
No, they will do the next stuff I'm going to read. They have damage resistance to necrotic.
Makes
they
sense.
Have a passive perception of 12. They don't speak, like we said.
Right? But they can in your game.
Yeah, if you want. So it's got that's a half challenge rating. So really, you're gonna add 100 XP for these. So yeah, you're right about the XP being like a group reward sort of thing because that doesn't that math it don't track.
No,
proficiency bonus plus 2. It's got a beheaded form when created. A death's head takes one of three forms: aberrant head, gnashing head, or petrifying head. This form determines the creature's attack. It also has unusual nature. The death's head doesn't require air, food, drink, or sleep.
So I think previous to this book, as far as I know, usually that would just be undead nature. But I think they're just coming up with an umbrella term for anything that doesn't require air, food, or drink, or sleep. It's just because it comes from one of the many unusual natures for that would be a thing.
Maybe yeah,
it's
not just
maybe
undead.
It's undead.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to say, like an elemental might
Yeah,
have
or that.
That
as well. Yeah.
Okay. We got the gnashing bite for the gnashing head only. It's going to be a melee attack, plus 3 to hit with a reach of 5 feet on one target. It can hit for 4 or 1d6 plus 1 piercing damage, plus 7 2d6 necrotic damage. Pretty good. Mind-bending bite for the aberrant head. Melee weapon attack is going to be plus 3 to hit, reach 5 feet on one target. Hit's going to be 4 or 1d6 plus 1 piercing damage, plus 5 1d10 necrotic damage. And the target must succeed on a DC 10 intelligence saving throw, or it can't take a reaction until the end of its next turn. Moreover, on its next turn, the target must choose whether it gets a move, an action, or a bonus action. It gets only one of the three. That's really good to mitigate action economy for a party. So petrifying bite for the petrifying head only, obviously. So it's going to be melee weapon attack plus 3 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do only 3 instead of 4, 1d4 plus 1 piercing damage. And the target must succeed on a DC 10 constitution saving throw or be restrained as it begins to turn to stone.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. The target must repeat the saving throw at the end of its next turn. On a success, the effect ends. On a failure, the target is petrified for 10 minutes.
So,
that's a lot of time in combat.
Yeah, so at low levels, these things are... they're deadly at the very low levels, but I think most importantly...
Well, fucking Christopher Walken running around, though.
When paired with the Headless Horseman or the Doulahan, they are a nuisance that cannot afford to be ignored. Because, yeah, you'll probably take them down in one hit, but you'll have to waste a turn doing it, and you're fighting Christopher Walken. that's a sacrifice right there. But if you try and forego them and ignore them, there's three of them, and two of them do this crazy shit where it fucks with either your action economy or turns you to stone, and all it takes is one flub, and suddenly you're at a huge disadvantage, so you can't really afford to just ignore them. So basically, it's three nuisances that the Doulahan forces you to deal with, which buys him time to fuck up your life.
Yeah, he was like, you were too distracted by my bats. And his axe is in your back.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it should go.
He starts to gnaw in your ear.
Do you have any questions about Death's Heads or Doulahans? Doulahans.
How do we say it? Let us know in the comments below. Yeah. We love this game on the Dungeon Cast. Mm-hmm. Should we do some long rest stuff?
We should do some long rest stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Vampires, magic, dragons, lies, and misinformation. Your fantasy book fix. Blood Red Eyes, Book 1, Trials. A fast-paced, easy read on diving into act utilitarianism and solutions to nihilism from different perspectives. This young adult medieval dark epic fantasy book is available at Barnes & Noble and is free for Kindle Unlimited members on Amazon. Take advantage of a week-long ebook sale starting on October 20th at 62% discount, celebrating this sponsorship. Blood Red Eyes, Book 1, Trials. Available now.
I'm ready. Let's fucking go. Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest.
This one's fucked up.
We're building
a fucked up rest.
We just want to let you know up front that we're fucking it up.
We came up with some bad ideas.
They're happening.
Don't bet, Bray.
I'm resigned to them, and I also love them. So we are going to start with the... No, we're going to start with the beam.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're building Beholder, you didn't realize that. That's what we're doing this year.
We're too deep.
We're building a beholder, and we're starting with the beam. Go ahead, Brian.
The beam shoots death's heads that are gazer-themed. Beholder-themed death heads.
Exactly.
They know the cantrip mage hand, so they can help with science. Because after the hobbleman did his good drawing with our horrible-eared beholder, it just does look like a floating head. Like, it reminds, like, it looks like a head. It shouldn't. It is that.
Yeah,
it is
that.
A flying head.
It is.
Anyway.
I would say those gazer death's heads would fall under the aberrant head, so they would have the mind-bending bite.
Nice, yeah. They have the mind-bending bite, and they're going to bend your mind, baby.
Indeed.
So I'll tell you what's going to bend your mind next, baby. It's the feature.
Yeah, so the feature, we decided, you know what? Let's go with some Irish folklore, and we're going to give this thing the flesh of a Doulahan. So the flesh of a Doulahan is said to have the color and consistency of moldy cheese. So this beholder has the flesh that is the color and consistency of moldy cheese.
Side effect, it has the worst fucking breath.
It's so fucking disgusting.
It's bad.
All right, so let's move on to our next segment. If you guys like this show, please like, subscribe, comment below. Please leave an Apple podcast review. That helps us probably more than anything else. Besides maybe telling a friend, tell a friend. That would also help us out. You know, spread the word. We're trying to grow the show.
Or Patreon.
As I said before, Patreon, yes. And also, if you want to help keep the lights on directly, go to patreon.com. Go ahead and pledge $1, $2, whatever it is that you can afford to give away.
If you can't go to Patreon and pledge, we totally get it.
Like, absolutely.
You can help in a lot of other ways if that's your prerogative. If you want to just listen to the show, that's cool too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate that.
That being said, for those who do pledge, there's plenty of bonus content there. We've said it a million times a show. I'll just go through a quick checklist. We got themed campaign adventures. We got original soundtracks from our SuperQuest saga. We have early episodes. We have show notes. We have merchandise. Oh, yeah.
You put all the character sheets we've ever made on
there,
too.
The character sheets I've ever made for we've ever made for the show are on there. Speaking of merchandise, everyone listening who's part of the $20 or up tier, your new custom item is coming.
We're
getting art done right now.
It usually switches in October, November. It might be a little late.
Huh? October is the month that we usually switch it over. It's not going to be another mug, I promise, even though the last three mugs were dope. We got to switch it up. We got a really cool idea. We'll tell you more about it later. Pledge if you can. It helps us out. But if not, it's cool. Just spread the word. That being said,
Let's, for people that do pledge to us. Indeed. We will pledge back to you.
Indeed.
In double. Well, I don't know. I'm not giving you guys money. You're giving us money, which is dope. Thanks.
Indeed.
We're doing a lot of cool stuff with it.
So. But you're going to get shout-outs.
Yeah.
Right
that's
now.
That's part of the thing is you get a shout-outs, and here they go. Zach Gifford.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. Orbital.
Thank you, Orbital.
Kogo Saiyajin.
Can you say that again?
Kogo Saiyajin? Like Saiyan? Like they say Saiyajin in...
Where is it?
You know, the...
Kogo Saiyajin. Thank you.
In the native.
I see it.
We got June Scorch.
Thank you, June Scorch.
Man, June Scorch, I don't miss the thing you remind me of, which is the heat.
Indeed.
Finally cool in here. We got Tynan Cameron.
Thank you, Tynan.
Idaliz Diaz.
Thank you, Idaliz.
Do you think it's Idaliz?
I think it's Idaliz.
Idaliz?
Yeah.
Thank you. And we got Jacob Powell. Who I'm sure I've shouted out before, but maybe
thank
not.
You again, Jacob.
Sometimes I see the email come in. I'm like, hey, Jacob Powell. And then I do this. And I'm like, hey, I remember.
It doubles up.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost like a deja vu effect.
We have a winner for a contest that I'm seeing here. So we should announce on
Instagram. Oh, is that our coffee contest?
On Instagram.
Go ahead and shout him out.
You won on the gram, Orange Time Machines Care.
Thank you, Orange Time Machines Care. And I hope you enjoy.
Machine Scare.
Either or, I hope you enjoy that coffee very much.
I'm sorry. One of those is correct.
We're giving away three more bags of coffee at the end of every one of these weeks.
Adventures Coffee Company is giving away coffee through us.
Indeed.
So thanks, Adventures Coffee Company.
Thank you,
Adventures Coffee Company. They have D&D-themed coffee, and we're giving it away through the spooky month. So, you know, like we said at the top. But thanks a lot for listening, you guys. I love you.
I love you as well. I think we could call it a game. Talk
Bye.
To you guys later.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.